Welcome to episode 256 of the McSauce Comic Book Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Eviscerator Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt the Mauler Casal.
What is eviscerator?
It's when your stomach gets cut open and all your guts fall out.
I didn't know that. Is that a torture device, eviscerator?
I think it's just when you're eviscerated.
Yeah, I think it's a noun, like you get eviscerated. But
wouldn't that be a verb? I am the eviscerator. That's his finishing move.
Yeah, cuts your guts out.
And why was his not alliterative, but mine was?
Ian the eviscerator? They have different letters, but the same sound.
Oh,
it's called a homonym.
I thought it was a sort of viscerator, not eviscerator.
You thought it was eviscerator.
Correct.
Eviscerator.
Like a-viscerator.
It's close. Stop busting my balls.
I'm not busting your balls. I'm just trying to understand the words that you're using.
How hard it is to find a new horror word every year for Ian?
It's a tough one.
A new horror word. Did you try slut?
Oh, I feel like that would have to be like slut sharply.
Slut sharply. Why would it has to
sharply? You're such a slut.
It sounds like a very slushy slut. Disgusting.
The slushy. No, slushy doesn't start with SH. We are off to a rollicking good start this Wednesday night, October 24th, for our third McSauce-tober episode of the season. Last week, the Danny McBride and David Gordon Green Halloween was released. Huge weekend numbers. We are going to review it and spoil the shit out of it tonight. If you haven't seen Halloween, you may want to wait until you see it. If you have seen it, please listen along. If you don't care, also listen along. And, go to your favorite podcast listening device. Give us a nice review. Ian, are you ready for haunted housekeeping?
Ooh. Go to McSauce.com, where you can find our webcomics, our podcast. We used to have some comic reviews up there. We have old ones if you want to see some reviews of old comic books, old dead and buried comic reviews. You can go check it out on McSauce.com. You can also find us and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, all the social medias. You can find us and react with us. We're pretty engaged on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. So if you want to have a nice little chat with the boys from McSauce, go to your socials, hit us up. We'll always have some talks with you. And if you're looking for some nice haunted gear for the Halloween season, you can go to tpublic.com, type in McSauce. You can get yourself a nice orange pumpkin-colored t-shirt for the holiday season. It's not too late. So, check us out on all the socials and on our TeePublic t-shirt site.
Ian, that was a crisp, clean housekeeping. Crisp like the weather outside.
It is pretty crisp. I'm glad that it's not 1,000 degrees outside anymore. I was getting tired of sweating every single day, all the time.
I don't miss it. I don't miss it. I like to wear the least amount of clothes possible. That's not the case once.
You don't miss what?
Once the quote-unquote fall rolls around.
So no, you miss summer.
I miss summer.
Yeah, I don't.
I, as Paul originally said but did not mean, I don't miss summer.
Right.
I miss it. So last Friday... Halloween came out, the continuation of, when did that come out? 74? 79?
78.
78.
78.
The third Halloween, because there have been, this will be the third movie entitled Halloween. The Rob Zombie movie came out in, what was that, 06? Is that right?
You know, it. Yeah, it might have been. Yeah. It might have been.
I'm just reaching here with that one.
They ought to start doing them like Weezer does their self-titled. Like, this is Halloween Red. The last one was Halloween Blue.
Matt, does it bother you that they're all, these have all been titled Halloween?
Well, the Rob Zombie one didn't bother me because that was a straight-up reboot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's fine. This one, titled Halloween, is idiotic.
I agree.
I realize that they're trying to make it as accessible for new audiences by, you know, eliminating any kind of potential baggage with a numeral at the end of it.
But it's still a sequel. Like, it's a direct sequel.
Right, right. But there's already a Halloween 2, and if you named this Halloween 2, that would probably be even more confusing than naming this Halloween. So what are they going to do?
Would they have to go with the structure that the Friday series has and name it something like The Next Halloween or The Halloween After Last Halloween?
Back to Haddonfield.
When you said it took me...
Or what if they just called this one...
It took me literally 10 seconds to catch up to what you were thinking there, because when you said the Friday series, I was like, oh yeah, Friday the 13th part two.
Oh, no, Friday as in...
Because I was like, when was there a next Friday the 13th? I don't remember that.
That's my fault for not being clear. Yeah, the...
I got Horror on the Brain.
Ice Cube series. Halloween After Next.
Did it bother me? Yeah, it did, but...
What would you have called it?
I don't know. I guess I probably would have given it a subtitle.
Would you have just called it Strode?
Probably not.
That's a terrible name. I wish he had a different name. Strode.
Strode?
I don't like it. It reminds me of Chode.
Isn't
that a little fat penis? A chode?
I don't know. It's,
I think it maybe? Is. I think it's when the penis is wider than it is long, yeah. But it's still like short.
When it's like a can of chew. That's a chode.
Yep.
So you wouldn't call it strode.
I think a chode technically is slang for a penis wider than it is long.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I mean, certainly I wouldn't call it Strode because I don't want you to get confused, Paul. But
we're trying to streamline this, not confuse fucking everyone.
But I mean, like, what are you gonna do? Call it Michael Myers or Meyer? Like, that doesn't sound good. It's got to be Halloween, and then probably a subtitle.
Yeah.
But God willing, it wouldn't be Halloween H40, like, because this is the 40th year. Anniversary of the original. I don't know. Maybe just call it Halloween 2018 or something. Halloween 18.
I think just Halloween works. It's less confusing than trying to tag something else on it.
Or that makes no sense.
Like it's less confusing marketing wise to.
Well, I like that.
Dummies.
Yeah, I like that they didn't overthink it and try to cater to the lowest common denominator. They were like, fuck it.
Make
but
that's
it
exactly what they did.
Done.
Yeah, that's exactly
that,
what they did.
That is what they did by naming it Halloween.
I think catering would have been if they would have been like Halloween : the second part, but not really the second part, the part after the first part.
That's, you know, that's like, catering to the hardcore fan by specifically saying where it fits in, because I would argue that the majority of audiences that went and saw this movie have never seen a Halloween movie beyond the original. I would say that this was like the perfect sequel for the bulk of audiences that went to the theater this weekend.
This one might as well have been named Halloween. You know what it is.
Yeah, that's why I think just Halloween was fine. Fans know. Fans know what it is. We don't need subtitles or, you know, like, we can say, you know, the Danny McBride Halloween, the 2018 Halloween. Fans get it. Fans don't need catered to.
This poor David Gordon Green dude who, like,
DWG.
also wrote it and directed it. Like, we are just like, fuck you, pal. You weren't in Eastbound and Down. You aren't Kenny Powers, motherfucker.
He directed Pineapple Express. That movie's, like, surprisingly very funny.
You like that movie?
Yeah.
That surprises me that you like that.
Yeah, like, it starts out as a total stoner movie, and then as it goes along, it gets a little bit more involved.
Yeah.
And it's got a dark edge to it, which I appreciated.
I liked it. I'm just surprised that you
I didn't like it at first.
Mm-hmm. It grew on you?
Well, as the movie went on, I started liking it more. Mm-hmm. It's not like it had to marinate or anything. By the end of the movie, I was like, yeah, that was really good. Mm. But when it first started, I was like, oh, shit, here we go. That's kind of the way I felt about Hellfest.
Yeah.
When that started, the acting was terrible. The writing was terrible.
Well, yeah. Like the first half of Pineapple Express is complete junk. I fucking hated it. But by the time the second half rolls around, then it really gets into the story that it's telling at that point, and it's just off to the races.
Yeah,
Hellfest was a lot of setup. Like that's kind of how
it wasn't just the setup though, Paul. It was the fact.
You think the acting got better?
I do. I think because there was less exposition and they could just kind of like get into smaller. There wasn't like these drawn out scenes like there was initially. Like when the girl shows up at her friend's apartment or whatever, college apartment, and. There's a lot of exposition there, and I think that none of these actors were particularly well equipped to handle pretty crappy dialogue to make it anything but kind
of
trash.
A lot of unnecessary stuff thrown in there that you thought would have mattered later that never mattered. So okay,
but it wasn't even. It's not that. That's kind of not what I'm saying though. But Paul, we're not here to discuss the Hellfest. Movie that came out like 4 weeks ago. We're here to discuss.
This movie is getting a lot of has some legs. I might have to go see it before it's out of theaters.
I think it is out of theaters.
Ah, son of a bitch.
It's so far out of theaters, Ian, it may be on iTunes before Halloween.
It sounded from you guys' review, it didn't sound like a scary horror movie at all. It sounded like kind of bland, to be honest, from what your review was.
It is kind of bland. It's a slasher movie, and it doesn't do a ton original, but what it does pretty well.
Yeah.
Maybe
I'll see it whenever it hits iTunes.
Yeah.
If you get
like a rock album, you know, from kind of a new band that's been inspired by a lot of bands, but they don't take a lot of chances themselves, but whatever they do, they're doing it well.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good.
I like
Hellfest. That's a good summation.
I liked
it
quite a bit. I found myself continually thinking about Hellfest days after we saw it. But we're not here to review Hellfest.
No, but we can't stop talking about it.
Go see Hellfest. Do yourself a favor. It's a fun slasher movie.
Paul, should the fans see Hellfest and Halloween in a double feature kind of situation? Or is Halloween not worth seeing?
I think Halloween is worth.
Did I call it Halloween? Seeing. I think I did.
Halloween.
Hell on the brain.
That's what the double feature's called.
Oh, okay.
Halloween Fest.
Or it's a German metal band, but you guys probably aren't super familiar with them.
They have different tones, so maybe I don't know. What would you watch first? Would you get the lighter Hellfest out of the way first, and then get into the darker
Halloween.
You
want to go with the classic heavy hitter last, right? You want to
go
with
a headliner.
Yeah, exactly. If we want to stay our band motif.
I'm not talking just about like which movie or franchise is bigger. I'm talking strictly like the tone of the movies. Like which one is going to satisfy your palate more? Is it, you know, the lighter Hellfest and followed by the darker Halloween or vice versa?
Paul, it just depends on what you're in the mood for. Personally, I think it would be more fun to watch the two Halloween movies back to back. But if I had to pick between Hellfest and Halloween, you start with Hellfest and you go into Halloween. Paul, why don't you get into some initial thoughts you had with Halloween? I think I keep calling it Halloween. Halloween. What were some of your initial thoughts? You saw the trailer a bunch of times. You start watching the movie. You see the scenes from the trailer that you know so well play out in the context of the movie with the score going. What were your thoughts initially?
Going into it or
As you're watching
As I'm watching
it.
I liked it. I thought it was a good, faithful sequel to the original. I think they tried to honor the old slasher movies of yesteryear, which is now 1978. I wasn't blown away by it, I think. I don't know if it's because I went into Hellfest with such lower expectations that Hellfest kind of blew me away. But Halloween didn't blow me away. I was satisfied, but at the same time, I was like, man, why'd you do that?
Do what?
Handful of things that I don't think I would have done. Specifically, casting that fucking fossil as Judy Greer's husband. I thought he was her dad.
Yeah,
he was so old.
He's like the old guy in *Halt and Catch Fire*. He's like the older boss for all the younger computer designers that are all Judy Greer's age. And I started doing the math because Judy Greer is around our age, and I'm like,
she's our age? Are we that old?
Judy Greer?
We are.
She's like 38,
she's probably
39,
younger
40.
Than me.
Son of a bitch! So I had no idea.
She's around our age, and I'm like, all right, well. Jamie Lee Curtis would have had to have had this child like the night after Michael Myers assaulted her back in 1978. And it just didn't make me.
Yeah,
geez,
that's a
Judy
good
Greer's
point.
43.
I mean, that
well,
is...
Well, yeah, but I mean, give or take.
Okay,
actresses always play younger.
Right. I'm just saying, like, that's around our age.
That's an interesting point, but you have to think the night of that Halloween messed up Laurie Strode.
Her pussy was ready to go.
Right. That made her super horny.
Okay.
No, but like...
Loomis is probably the father.
It was so... I don't know. Like, it just... It turned her into... It's messed with her, and she just made some bad decisions.
Okay.
After that night, quickly.
It just seemed like that was a strange thing with the casting of the older dude.
How old is Laurie Strode in the original? Is she supposed to be like 16?
Let's say she's a senior. Let's say she's 18.
Okay. I think Judy Greer's character in David Gordon Green's Halloween can be 32 at the youngest. Absolute youngest.
There's no way she's 32.
Well, her daughter's 16.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So, I mean,
I don't care.
That
you
works,
saw,
right?
Yeah. Well, we saw her.
I mean, biologically, yes, it does.
She didn't look 32. She
36?
At the youngest.
Okay, let's settle on 35.
The thing that I
nice
came away with
number.
From this movie was Judy Greer gets so much work in Hollywood. Judy Greer is in fucking everything.
Yeah, people like
she
Judy Greer a lot. I like
Ant-Man. She's in the Jurassic Park movies.
What was she in Ant-Man? I can't remember.
She is the wife. She's Scott Lang's wife.
Oh, yeah. Divorced she's wife married to Robert Ant-Man. Cannavale.
So, okay. Yeah, she fucking works. So,
yeah,
whoever
so,
her agent is, doing a bang-up job.
When we first meet Judy Greer and her husband, like, it took me...
her grand-husband?
It took me, like, a half hour to put together what was happening, because, like, oh, man, there's just, like, such bad casting, and every time he was on screen, I was like, oh, someone owed this guy a favor. That's why he's in this. He's buds with someone.
No, I mean, like, he's an actor that has been in things before.
Yeah,
Toby Huss.
He's
in those Audi commercials that look like Westworld recently. Like, have you seen those?
Yes.
No.
He is 100% a viable, credible, good actor, good character guy. Not for this role. I think just bring Bobby Cannavale over from Ant-Man. And have him be Judy Greer's husband, because
have
he
it
looks
just be the
he at least
Marvel
right he at least
MCU.
Looks her age.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you know why? Because they are each other's age.
Right. And for the longest time, I was like, oh, he's Judy Greer's dad. This is Laurie Strode's ex-husband.
That's what I thought initially, too. And then there was a lot of dad. Maybe it was. All right. And I'm cooking dinner. And I was like, this shit's weird.
Maybe it was Laurie Strode's ex-husband.
You think there's some weird, you know, they got divorced and then.
Yeah.
A Woody Allen situation.
Young Strode yep. was like. Dad, husband, husband, dad.
Yep.
So that threw, there was a lot of stuff that, because I feel this movie wasn't as scary as I wanted it to be, I was hypercritical of some of the flaws, just like simple shit like that. Judy Greer's age in comparison to
I didn't even consider it.
But, it bothered me.
But now that you mention it, that is a little bit problematic. But I can't fault it because it didn't affect my viewing experience, that particular thing.
Yeah, just overall,
what are some of the other things?
I was looking at a lot of stuff, maybe more critically than I normally would. There are a couple of different.
Well, there's a
moments.
Lot of buildup for this movie. I think I mean, you were somewhat responsible
driving the
for
hype
that.
Train. Yeah, there was just odd. But, odd moments
the last
that
few
felt,
weeks, Matt came down with a conductor's hat.
Odd moments that felt kind of out of place. While I laughed in the theater, thought it was kind of funny. The moment with when Vicky, the blonde babysitter, is babysitting the kid, and that kid was fucking chewing the scenery. He was funny, and maybe too funny for. A Mike Myers actually showing up in your house and murdering your babysitter right in front of you. Like, yeah. That kid was cracking some fucking jokes. And I was like, I don't know if I would be that funny. I think I'd be pissing
there
my
were,
pants.
There were parts with that kid that worked. And there were parts where it's like, if this kid's going to be this much of a fucking comic, he better be killed. Because he has no place here.
I was watching those scenes and I was like, Kevin Hart's too old to be playing this kid.
And there was there are other
Paul,
sort of mismatched scenes.
Yeah, pause for 1 second. Okay. I want to go back to that kid. Paul, what were your feelings on his lisp?
I didn't pick up on
Are you
lisp.
Kidding me? It was plain as
But
day.
it's a kid lisp.
I know,
I mean,
but
I feel like you get a pass if you're like, a child and you're
okay. I was too focused on like His cream pies and banana peels. Yeah, like he didn't have one serious line delivery. Like every bit of dialogue he had was a fucking zinger, a really good zinger. Like he was funny, but I'm like, who's writing your fucking script?
Yeah,
show me your writer's room, kid.
Yeah, he was too funny for the situation.
Yeah, no kid is that funny. Like he delivered it like
the
tons
problem,
of times.
Right, the
like young
was,
kids
though.
In. In sitcoms, like specifically, you know, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, when they were old enough to talk in Full House, you know, they give them dialogue that sounds like adult speak. And no kid fucking talks like that. It's unrealistic. This kid shouldn't have talked like that, but he delivered all of it really well. But the whole time I was like, man, this kid is just too funny. Like you just watched Michael Myers drag your babysitter in the bedroom and shut the door and you're on the fucking zing train.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember him still making jokes at that moment. But the problem was that kid was getting laughs even as Michael Myers appeared. Oh shit. When he jumps out of the bed and you know, kids swearing hilarious. Admittedly, it's funny, but it didn't have a place because the audience is laughing at that moment. That should have been, we all saw that moment in the trailer where Michael Myers is in the closet. What a fucking horrifying thing. That should have been terrifying. And instead, the audience is laughing.
Yeah. Like, and it comes on the back of the previous scene where we have Michael Myers, which I think was some of the most effective use of Michael Myers, where we kind of ride with him on his shoulder and walk with him through the neighborhood as he goes and he picks up
the
hammer.
That was a really cool, like, one fucking take. Like, how cool is that? One take and all that stuff went down. From the moment that he walks around the house after he gets the hammer, I think there was a cut,
mm-hmm.
and then he walks into the house as it pans across that TV,
mm-hmm.
And from then on, all the way until he stabs that woman through the back of the neck, which was a nice kill,
mm-hmm.
one shot.
Yeah, like, and that, I think that was some of the most effective use of horror in this film. Like, it was just tense.
It was good.
Rolled with him. It was good. Like, all right, what am I going to use next to just randomly murder people? And I'm like, fuck, this is the core of what makes Michael Myers scary.
The for that particular scene, I can't help but feel like I would have maybe not played the Michael Myers theme so prominently as he's walking to go pick up the hammer, the part that we saw in the trailer. I think that would have been better played with just his breathing, similar to, now I know it was a first person shot in the original movie when he walks around the outside of his house before he goes into it and upstairs to kill his sister. There's a little bit of like kind of stinger type music during it, but like, I think just hearing like some footsteps and the breathing would have been a lot creepier than mm-hmm. it was almost like, here's the Michael Myers fanfare. We're going to like get into it. And it yeah. changed the tone of what I wanted that scene to be. I thought that it got a little scarier when we see that woman on the phone. I couldn't really figure out what she seemed concerned. My guess is she had heard that her neighbor got killed or something. And she looks outside and then Michael Myers gets her from behind. I thought
it was pretty effective. I thought it was very tense.
It was, and I like the part where you're like, "Holy shit!" He hears that baby crying. He's gonna kill that baby, and then he didn't. But it was nice to see Michael Myers kill a kid. I have to give it up. He killed a kid. Don't you think? What yeah, horror yeah. movies? They never kill little kids.
Who did
they,
he kill? What
he
kid
killed
did he
that
kill?
the after the bus crashed. He was in the car and
the kid with the ballet
dance.
Kid with like the yeah. really gravelly voice, the unnaturally gravelly childlike voice.
Yeah, Dad, I really like to dance.
Yeah, so there was just such
weird really hits me
like,
in the heart.
Like, what purpose did any of that serve to have that little
that
interaction
exposition?
Between father and son there? Like, I don't. It just seems like it seemed unnecessary.
I agree.
Maybe it made us feel for that. Like, we remember that kid in his extracurricular activities. Like, we know that.
Well,
so
I think it makes us
connect to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I think
more.
that you want maybe a little bit of something with a character. Just a little something, so that way you care a little bit more when they are killed. Otherwise, they're just, you know, sheep. Being led to the slaughter. Is that a thing? Did I make
yes,
that?
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's a little bit of a fine line that you have to walk
mm-hmm.
because if you overdo it, then you're kind of killing the mood, so to speak. And I think that they overdid it there a little bit. I think that it could have been fine if like that truck pulls up and it's a dad and his kid. But maybe they had to explain it a little bit why the kid had a rifle.
Yeah.
You know, oh, they're on a hunting trip. Okay, that's why the kid has a gun. So.
Yeah. There was another.
On that
same point, when the two police officers were on their stakeout and they're sitting there talking about the kind of sandwiches they like.
Yeah.
For. Five straight minutes.
Well, that 5 minutes, but okay.
It seemed extraneous.
Yeah,
to me.
Yeah. It was
and
probably
maybe it
a
made
minute.
Me. Maybe it makes us connect with those guys a little bit more. Hey, it's a peanut butter sandwich, fucking Vietnamese sandwich guy
yeah.
that got murdered. But yeah. I don't know. And that feels like a very Danny McBride.
The Vietnamese
both of those,
sandwich guy got murdered.
Both of those cops.
Oh,
I
the
would
cops
imagine.
Did. I thought you meant the guy made the sandwich. I'm like, I don't remember that.
No, the cop that was saying that he. Got the
right.
Vietnamese
right.
TNJ for his buddy. It just felt like extraneous.
I don't know how. I don't know how effective the movie was also at managing to isolate the main characters in a believable way. I don't know. Lori's in danger. Go to her house. Like, wouldn't she be going to the police station?
Yeah.
Isn't that where you would go?
I know
that she's got some...
Lori's clearly a fucking nutcase.
Like, Lori's been training for this for her whole life.
Right, right. That makes sense. But the cops are involved at this point. The cops are going to say, Lori, no.
Yeah.
You are coming with us to the police station until we get this all figured out.
Yeah, you would think that there would have to be some kind of event that would happen where the police station is no longer safe. And
That didn't happen.
We have to get back to the only place that's ever been safe. It seems like they missed a step.
Right. It was a bit of a contrivance to get them all together in that place. And obviously you had to kind of work around, okay, it's 2018 now, so now there's going to be cell phones like there weren't before, so now it's easier to call for help, and you know they had to kind of work around that with the granddaughter Allison. And
what was their workaround for that?
Throwing her
boyfriend
threw
it in the dip or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it was. After he was banging that girl.
They're probably still
working. I hated her boyfriend literally the second I saw him. And I was like, awesome. Can't wait for this fucker to get killed.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get killed.
Well, Matt, he plays an even worse boyfriend on USA's season of The Purge and does get killed in a very satisfying way.
That's good. Maybe we can edit that into this Halloween movie.
As soon as I saw him, I was like, why do I fucking hate this guy? Like, why don't I like this guy? And then
is it possibly
at some point it hit me. I was like, oh yeah, he's a super fucking douchebag from The Purge. All right, now I get it.
Like, was it possibly his floppy hair and the fact that
it
there
was
were
everything.
Two his sidekick also had floppy hair, very similar.
I fucking hated that sidekick. He was so fat and his lips were so big. He was so fucking gross. That kid was fucking hideous.
His friend?
Yeah. That kid was gross. I'm like, buddy, what shot did you really think you were going to have with this hot piece? Look at your lips. Hideous.
Look at your lips. That was actually... Because he talked about his about his crusty chapped lips getting on the friend, but like I actually have to say that was a pretty satisfying kill. As a matter of fact, that sequence with the motion detector light was my favorite of the movie. I thought that it felt very old school Halloween. It's what I wanted the whole movie to feel like. And not enough things were set up like that. I thought that the tracking shot where we go on Michael Myers' shoulder for the ride along while he killed some people, those were the two best sequences in the movie. Am I right?
I like that that scene as well, where you know the motion light comes on and
yeah, that's what I'm saying. That,
yeah,
yeah.
And I thought it was really an effective use of the score at that point too. I found out that John Carpenter came back and did a lot of work on the score.
Yeah.
And I thought it showed, and the track was, I think it is, The Shape Hunts Allison.
Yep.
I thought that was really, like, it was really haunting and scary, and there was
sort of
like a siren that played.
Yes.
And I thought that was fucking scary.
Yeah, it was, I agree with you, Ian. I'm glad that you brought that up, because I was going to, because it's the sequence, Paul, where Fat Friend with the lips gets stabbed on the fence, and then when Allison comes back to check on Fat Friend, the iron...
like
post is going up under his chin through his mouth. It's very brutal. It's very cool. And she sees his dead body with the blood dripping out. And then during that moment, you hear that haunting, like little bells or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the big siren effect comes when Michael,
what are the bells?
Well, you know, I'll edit. I'm not going to do it, Paul.
Is it the one that goes like... Da-da. The little like stinger?
No.
Hmm.
No.
I don't know what the bells are then.
I'll play it. I'll put it in the episode so you can hear it. And then you have that big like bombastic siren when Michael comes from like the side of the gate.
Yeah.
And I don't know if like I hesitate to say that was scary, but there was something very spooky about that moment.
It was a moment where I was like, get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel that way. You know, I only felt that way sporadically throughout
right.
the movie. Towards the end, I didn't feel that way because, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, but the end of the film, I kind of felt like, man, Michael Myers is really walking into a fucking death trap. Like, he probably shouldn't go in there. Like, I felt like the monster was outmatched by the quote-unquote victim this time around.
Yeah.
And it sort of undercut a lot of the terror and dread because Laurie Strode's been fucking on this mission for 40 years.
She oh, yeah.
really prepared.
yeah. I mean, yeah, I would agree with that. They were evenly matched. Once he got in the house, they were evenly matched. And it takes some of the tension away.
Yeah.
Although I do think they did a good job with the flashlight at the end where Laurie's trying to find him, all the lights are cut in the house and she's using the flashlight and it's isolating like what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they take out all the music. It's just some sound effects, breathing, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I thought all that stuff was really good.
Yeah.
Where she's going from room to room.
Right.
She's like closing the doors. Then she's in the room with the mannequins. Like I thought that was tense.
Yeah. First of all, Laurie Strode, get that fucking room cleaned up. Don't have a room with mannequins.
It's way
like
too
that.
Creepy, yeah.
Yeah, but I thought it was sort of like a cool callback, and they did a lot of this throughout the film, where they did callbacks to the original 1978 Halloween, where she's looking in the closet, and the closet was sort of where she was trapped
yeah.
in the original movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Earlier in the film, whenever Allison is sitting in class and she looks out and she sees Laurie Strode standing out there, looks yep. again, she's gone.
It was the same back. Lesson. If you, mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, but when Laurie was sitting in class, it was the same.
Oh, really?
They were talking That's about, cool. I forget who the author was, but they were talking about fate
mm-hmm.
and what that meant. And it was the same lesson in both movies.
Hmm. I didn't notice that. That's pretty cool, though. But I liked how they used a lot of that stuff to pay homage to the original.
I do too, although I mean, I guess this movie indicated that Laurie a little bit had turned into Michael Myers in a way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That she might not even realize it, but I think what this movie lacked that the original had was that whole sense of foreboding, that stalking part where Michael is literally like just moving around Haddonfield in broad daylight and he locks on to Laurie. He had locked on to her when she was when she dropped the key off at the Myers house, and as soon as he saw her, that was his victim. And this didn't really have that stalking aspect of it, and it didn't build the tension, because like that's part of why Halloween is so tense, is because it builds it for so long in the first part of the movie, and this didn't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some of the kills in this movie looked really cool, but they all happened off screen, and all we saw was the aftermath. particularly the garage attendant getting his jaw ripped off, and the other one was the dog that was barking.
Sorry, that's my dog, everybody.
I don't think it's going to pick up.
We'll see about that.
We'll see.
I'll edit in like this giant like wolf sound. No, it was the part with Dave, the babysitter's boyfriend.
Where he got stabbed to the wall. Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
Right, like he grabs a knife. He's like, "Fuck this!" Obviously, he went upstairs and then he ran downstairs because his body was found downstairs. I would have liked to have seen that interaction. But unfortunately we weren't treated to that.
You know what I would have liked to have seen?
What?
Babysitter's titties.
She has a name. Poor Vicky. I felt bad when she got fucking snuffed out.
I kind of did too.
I liked her a lot. I thought she was a cool character.
I did
too. They
built
her up enough that whenever she got nuked,
she
was sad.
I thought she was more interesting than Allison.
Oh, way more. Yeah.
Yeah.
More likable, more interesting.
Yeah.
Thanks to Lil Chris Rock giving her someone to play off of to help develop her character.
Yeah, I
agree with that. I thought she was a more interesting, cooler character than Allison. Allison just seemed like
Allison was
like
so
stuck up bitch,
so boring, and I really was not invested in her character at all. I kind of like the interplay between Jamie Lee Curtis and Judy Greer and how Jamie Lee Curtis's psychoses sort of warped her and pushed Judy Greer away. I thought that's an interesting thing.
I agree. I think both Judy Greer and Jamie Lee Curtis were much more interesting characters than the third generation granddaughter. But, you know, it's not the actress's fault. She just didn't have a lot to work with. But, Paul, it's like this main girl in a horror movie, the girl from Hellfest and Allison from Halloween are basically interchangeable.
Yeah, they're you know, they just seem very studious, and like you don't get a sense that they have any real interests or passions, you know. They're just kind of walking through life.
We need Allison to be like a Call of Duty fan.
Her choice in men is atrocious.
It really is.
Atrocious.
Well, you know what? We got to give her credit for turning away Fat Lip Friend.
Yeah, but you know, as hot babysitter Vicky, she has a name, Ian. You know, at least like.
Thank
like,
you for reminding me that I reminded you.
Her, you know, her relationship with Stoner Kid, like. It seemed a little more legitimate. It seemed a little warmer between the two of them.
I agree.
Like it was and maybe that's just testament to those two actors that, you know, they really found a friendly chemistry with each other that really played to the audience. But yeah, like those two really worked well. And yeah, I didn't really think about that until now. But man, I like them infinitely better than anyone else their age in the movie.
Yeah, I was really bummed whenever it was apparently clear that they were going to get fucking killed. So, yeah, props to those actors.
I thought Vicky might make it out.
Really?
Not when he pulled her back in the room. Like, I mean, that was
right, that
out.
Was it.
But yeah, I thought maybe like she'd get away and she'd tip off.
And I liked that Allison. She was a fighter, though. You know, she didn't go down without a fight. She probably did better than Dave did.
Yeah.
But, like, that whole slipping on the hardwood floor with her sock that was half off was so cheap, but maybe at the same time so vintage slasher movie. And the whole audience, when that happened, they were like, oh, like, of course.
Well, I felt like that when, towards the end of the movie, they get to the Strode compound. And Allison's trapped in the back seat, and you know she finally gets out of the police car, the police SUV, and she runs right into the dark woods.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, there's a fucking cop car right down the fucking street. You can probably see it. from where you're at. Like, run to the fucking cop car. Like, you know, you've got just as, like, they probably have bullets and guns.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've got a better chance down there, even if, I mean, Mike Myers can, you know, probably, you know, take a couple bullets and keep on ticking. I mean, he's probably going to kill them anyway, but might buy some time, might injure the big guy.
I thought it was
but
weird
that... But she runs
that...
right into the woods, and I was that's the moment I was like, ugh.
So maybe, on. But Paul... I'm sorry to interrupt, Ian.
That's
but
okay.
This girl had not had luck going with the authorities up to this point. Maybe she knew, I need to get to my grandmother's house. I know going through the woods is the best way to get there. That's where I'm safest. That's what I'm going to do. She knew those woods. It's not like she was in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, she just was taken off to get to her grandma's. Cops hadn't been particularly helpful to that point. So I'm willing to let that one go. If it was random woods, okay, I'm with you. But this was at her grandma's house who had built a fortress.
I thought it was a weird choice too. Like, so she goes and she runs through the woods, but then the movie picks up, carries on. We deliver Mike Myers to the Strode compound. We're in the middle of having this fight, and then we pick back up with Allison running through the woods, and she's scared, and we're like, you're running to the monster, dummy. Like, you're not running from him. Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it was just a narrative choice. It just seemed strange.
It was, and it did take her a long time to get to Lori's house.
Yeah.
Once she made for the woods. I guess she took the long way. But yeah, like, I mean, obviously they had to contrive that story a little bit to get everybody together in the house. There's probably a better way to do it. I haven't figured that out yet because, Paul, I haven't tried to yet, but I bet you we could figure something out. But, Ian, what about the elephant in the room that we haven't talked about yet?
Oh, goodness gracious.
The twist, if you want to call it that?
The twist being the end of the movie?
No. You saw the whole movie, right?
I did see the whole movie.
The doctor?
Oh, that was fucking stupid. I wouldn't call that a twist. I just think that's just, like, dumb.
Well, you take a character who's being established as, I mean, literally they say in the movie, the new Loomis. And I had a feeling that it would play out differently than regular Loomis. Like, this doctor seemed way more compassionate toward Michael Myers, but I didn't expect him to actually turn into a fucking killer.
Yeah.
And it seems like Rian Johnson got a hold of the movie for a minute and he was like, what are people not going to really expect here? What's the least expected thing that I could do? I know I'm going to have Loomis kill a police officer. That makes sense.
And essentially save Michael Myers.
Right. A police officer who, up until that point, out of every character that wasn't one of the three main girls, he was the main character, right?
Yeah.
And his death was going to be maybe the most important death in the movie because, you know, spoilers, they didn't kill any of the three main girls. So he was next. And he gets killed by the doctor.
He has history.
He has history.
There on that night 40 years ago.
Right. He's somewhat likable.
Yeah. He knows Lori. Like, you know, they've kind of come up together.
Right. So what do? They have the doctor decide to kill the cop because the cop was going to shoot Michael Myers in the head.
As any rational person would.
Right, like for once in a horror movie, you have a rational person that just wants to kill the psychopath. Then the doctor pulls out his scalpel pen and he murders the police officer in kind of a really dumb, boring way. But where it really turns.
What the fuck tool did he even use? Well, like,
it was a pen scalpel.
It was a pen scalpel.
Does that exist?
I mean, well, if you manufacture
it. Is that a custom?
I'm going to assume it is, but Paul, the problem, more so than him killing the cop, was when he stands up, and they wanted it to be scary, but he stands up wearing the mask, and it was comical, because the doctor isn't even 5 foot tall.
My audience had a bunch of groans. There weren't a lot of people in the audience, but there were a lot of people not liking
that. It was tough. It was a really bad moment. For me, it was the worst part of the movie. It made no sense. I hated that they decided to go that route. I'm hoping that there's like a director's cut where that doesn't happen. It's just wildly unnecessary, and I think it undercuts every part of the movie. There's Michael Myers can be the only killer in the Halloween movie. That's totally fine. We don't need his doctor to be a killer as well.
Yeah, it was weird, and to put the mask on and say, so this is how it must feel to kill Michael. Like, it was just all wacko.
Right, he was clearly losing his mind as it went along, and he was, like, becoming so obsessed with understanding why Michael does what he does. But the fact that he crossed the line and actually killed somebody, just that part doesn't register with me.
Do you feel like they made up for it by giving him one of the most gruesome deaths in the movie?
I do feel like the way that they killed him, which didn't even look like a human head, the way that it looked like he squished a pumpkin.
Yeah. It was bloody cantaloupe all over the place.
But I really did like that because he loved Michael. He was like in love with Michael Myers. And Michael Myers' reaction to that was, I'm going to just squish your head with my foot, you piece of shit.
Yeah, it was brutal.
I wanted one line of dialogue at some point early in the movie when the podcast team is going to do their thing and they're talking with New Loomis. I just needed one line where Loomis is like, he hasn't spoken a word. All he does is work out. Like, I need
where he gets that strength.
I need to know why this 61-year-old man is in tip-top shape.
I mean, whenever you're locked up, there's not a lot to do.
All he does is pull-ups, push-ups,
I feel like
sit-ups, all kinds of ups.
I feel like these two did the podcast community a great disservice by going to a subject that was notoriously silent for 40 years for their, podcast, for something that is not a visual medium. Well,
they were the ones that were gonna, they were gonna finally get words on record from Michael Myers. They were the ones that, came. They were able to procure his old mask, and that was gonna be what was gonna lure him out of the silence.
Yeah, and it's like all that kind of dips into like later on whenever Michael Myers just happens to be able to track them down, dips into a little bit of the implausibility of the whole film for me, where just him finding them, getting the mask or being reunited with the mask.
Well, he was going after them.
Well,
He wasn't as far-fetched
because what happened, Ian, was obviously they're doing a story on Michael Myers. So they're visiting all the sites and everything. They go to the grave of his sister, Judith Myers. Michael Myers goes to the grave of Judith Myers. He sees them there. He already has the truck that he stole from the hunter and the son, because we know Michael drives. He drove the fuck out of the nurse's car in the first movie, and he follows him.
Yeah,
you see him pull up
so.
At the gas station. He had been following them. He knew they had the mask. It's not like that was a coincidence. They showed him the mask. It was like a stroke of fate that he saw them at the cemetery. But like, okay, I can buy that. They're doing a story on it. He's obsessed with it. That's, where he sees them.
Mm-hmm.
I can buy it.
Okay.
I wanted a comedy beat where he kills the garage attendant and he puts on the, what do we call that? The garage maintenance guys.
Like
the jumpsuit. And it's like a size too small and it like comes up to his calves and his elbows. He's like, shit.
This would have been the movie for that. There's enough little comic
beats. He doesn't even need to speak. You just need to see him sigh when he tries to put it on.
So all in all, I mean, we've talked about it for about an hour. What do we think about this movie? Seems like we're, you know, a little split on it.
I didn't want to see him without the mask. Like, seeing, like, the back of his graying hair and everything. Like, I didn't want any hint that, oh, this is a guy. Like, you don't never see him in the first one.
That's not true.
It isn't true? Mm-mm. You see him in the first one? I haven't seen the beginning
of
the first one.
He's demasked in the first one. You see him full frontal. You see his face.
You do?
Yep.
In the end?
Laurie rips it off for a second, and then he puts it back on. You see it for about 2 or 3 seconds.
I forgot about that. Yeah, it just seemed goofy to me. Seeing, like, you know, like the gray hair, and I prefer to think of him as just this, like...
Shape.
Just a ghoul. A shape. Just, like, some unknown quantity.
I get it. Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, not my biggest problem with the movie.
I don't mind that we see little indications of him being like a real guy, but we saw too much. There was too much of his face, head, beard, all that stuff. Yeah. They should have done a better job of hiding it.
I guess my biggest problem with it, and I guess it can be explained away because this takes place in a movie, and like this is in their world, and they haven't seen a billion horror movies. It's not, you know, like it has the tone of Scream where, you know, they can reference, oh, we saw all these horror movies and this is how it's done. But, man, like you're gonna set up your fucking camp, your compound with all this shit, and you're not gonna, like, you're not gonna be like, I'm gonna wait and see the body at the end.
Yeah.
I know that's how they need to do it to set up a sequel, but I'm like, bitch, you've been waiting for this forever. Kill this dude. Or like he's down at the bottom of the steps and like they're all on fire and they're all at the top of the steps with guns. Blast him. Light him up. Like, you know, fucking kill that dude. Like, this is what you've been wanting for 40 years. Like, kill him and make sure you did it. Instead, they're like, meh. He can't get out of there. House is on fire. We think he's dead. But if it was sort of self-referential, like Scream is, I think that'd have been like, no, we gotta see the body.
I think I was okay with it, because yeah, they have to obviously not show the dead body, so that way, which they didn't, right? They show the burning basement.
And it was just a burning house and burning basement, but he wasn't there burning.
Lori thinks that she's got this shit on lockdown. There is no way out. It's a trap, they said. Well, my guess is Michael Myers figured out a way to get out of there. And maybe she wanted him to fucking burn to death. Maybe that's how she wanted him to die. Not, you know, get shot and then be burned. Although it's funny because that's what Loomis said they need to do. They need to kill him. That voiceover, that sound alike that they got was pretty cool. How he's like, we need to kill him, and then as soon as I can check for myself that there's no more vitals, I want to immediately burn the body. I was like, he really hates this guy. Huh. A lot more than his next doctor, who wanted to have sex with him. Huh. Ian, give us your final thoughts.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was a fine sequel to the original Halloween. It was an entertaining movie because there wasn't a lot of driving tension throughout the film. I sat and nitpicked a lot of it and felt like I saw more flaws and seams of the movie than maybe I would have if I was a little more wrapped up and concerned with the characters and worried about their safety. But in the end, I felt like Jamie Lee Curtis was really fucking ready for this. And I thought that she definitely was going to be able to handle Michael Myers in the eventuality that he made it back to her compound. So in a way, it sort of, while it was a cool twist on the theme, it undercut just general horror movie principles. In the end, I still enjoyed myself. It was a fine movie. I would give it a 6 out of 10.
I love the bit where she goes over the balcony and Michael Myers looks for her and she's gone.
Yeah.
Right. At that point, the tables had turned and he wasn't scary anymore.
That should have been the second time in the movie where we see him sigh, like, ugh.
In Paul McGinty's
This is not
laugh
going
riot.
The way I planned.
Yeah. Halloween.
You're right. It wasn't
Halloween, LOL.
Paul, give us your final thoughts.
I'm going to give it a 7. I liked it. It was cool. I don't think it was scary. I think the scariest bit was when she's going room to room in the compound and locking down all the rooms. And you know he's in that room with the fucking weird mannequins somewhere. And, like, it's, you know, the way they build the tension just waiting for him to attack was really, really good. I think, like, for me, that was the most tense part of the movie, the most frightening part of the movie. But I love that bit in the beginning where he shows up in the neighborhood, walks down, you know, towards the garage, gets the hammer, kills the lady, goes up to the next house.
Yeah. That was probably the midway
I really
point
liked,
of the movie.
Even though we didn't, we did get to see it, but even the off screen kills reflect the brutality of Michael Myers, which
I
like.
He had such a festive sensibility to him in this movie. Everything from the way that he, you know, hung the wall art in the form of teenagers to killing those cops and taking the guys, like, scooping out his head so that way he could light it up like a jack-o'-lantern. And then, of course, he did the sheet, the ghost over...
he's industrious.
Very much so. It's like, man,
he
did all those crafts.
A Pinterest page.
He did all that in one night.
Yeah,
I can't do that in a week. That many
he had
crafts.
40 years to think that shit out. So.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't think it should
like,
have.
If I ever get a cop, I'm scooping his brains out.
I don't think it should have taken him so long to beat that podcaster to death.
Podcaster's notoriously soft of mind and body.
Yeah, I don't think it should have taken him that long to beat him to death. But the scene where like the gas station guy's jaw's broken. You know, he beats that guy in the bathroom, stomps, you know, new Loomis's head. Like, he's, you know, the way he goes into that old lady's house, he just picks up the hammer, walks right in, and just beats her with it. Very just big and strong and brutal.
Just killed.
Like, I thought that was, I really liked that aspect of this Michael Myers. So, I give it a 7. I thought it was enjoyable. I wanted a little bit more from it. I think I wanted to leave feeling more creeped out.
Yeah.
But that's not what this movie was.
What was it?
I think it was more, it was, you know, traditional slasher style movie.
See, I think Hellfest was more traditional slasher style. This had a legacy to live up to. This had a lot of baggage to, even though it was a sequel to just the original, I still think that it had a lot to live up to, a lot of expectations, you know, 40 years in the making, basically. And I'm not sure that it was totally successful in that. It kind of let me down a little bit, particularly at the end when it took the main character, or not the killer, Michael Myers, and it reduced him to not very scary anymore. I actually was sympathetic for him as he was trapped in the basement. I was like, get out, man. How are you going to get out? Like, I didn't necessarily want him to get out so he can kill Jamie Lee Curtis and her daughter and granddaughter, but like, I wanted him out of there.
Matt,
I didn't like it.
I assure you. He got out.
I know, and I know that he did.
He may be a little singed.
Right.
But he got out.
One of the other aspects that let me down a little bit was that we didn't see all of the kills, that some of the best looking ones, all we saw was the aftermath. Like, we didn't even see Vicky die. Her stabbing happened off screen. There was very little that we actually saw. Like, didn't see the female podcaster die. All we saw were her feet. Didn't see Vicky die. We didn't see the gas station attendant die.
Didn't see Vicky's boyfriend die.
Didn't see Vicky's boyfriend die.
He has a name. It's Dave.
Didn't see the sandwich-eating cops die.
Nope. Nope.
Right?
Yeah. No, we didn't. I mean, we just saw the aftermath. I would have liked to see the brain scoop out and jack-o'-lantern treatment.
You want him to have like a Martha Stewart walkthrough of how we...
Absolutely.
How we make this craft.
Yeah, just like those videos where they're making things on like Facebook or Instagram, where those tasty face things that they show you, where they make different kinds of delicious meals.
Like
I want to see Michael Myers' hands
like
go
a Food
and
Network
scoop the brains
thing behind
out.
The counter.
And this is how you put the flashlight in. Yeah, just in case.
For the most part, I very much enjoyed the way that they handled Michael Myers. I wish that the movie overall would have been a little bit more stylized so it was more in line with the original. I think there were moments of it, but they weren't like enough. There was too much. I think some of the problems that I had was it looked like there were good kills, and this is a slasher movie, and too many of them, more than I think half of them happened off screen, and that's not an okay ratio in my book. And I probably would side with Paul on the score and give it a 7, but speaking of the score, the music in this movie is phenomenal, I think. I think that it created such great tension and quality moods. I love the slightly sped up newer version of the theme.
It has a little bit more like bass to it.
A little bit. It's a little faster. It's more intense. It's just more modernized, and it fits the tone of the newer movie that's got a little bit, faster pace to it. So I think the movie soundtrack is great. I've already listened to it several times. That's going to bump it up to an 8 for me, even though I kind of agree with just about everything that we all criticized it for. But like, I wanted this to be a 10 because the original is a 10. Mm-hmm. And I think this could have been a 10, but I think there were just a series of too many missteps. But it's good. I really enjoyed it. I think it would be an absolutely acceptable part to a 1-2 punch that involves the Hellfest double feature.
Halloween, if you will.
Yes.
That's going to do it for our Halloween / Hellfest
slasher
review. Hellfest. Our slasher fest review. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. I think the week off last week has just shake off this rust.
You think you're rusty, Paul?
100%.
Hey, on a side note, if you mm-hmm. like that Halloween, that is a band, man. You should check them out.
Halloween.
Ooh,
for not just for me, but for all the listeners that want to
for all the listeners
spook themselves out.
It's a German heavy metal band. They don't sing in German, but there is a song that they play on the Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 1 album. I'm sure you're familiar. They play a song called Halloween on it. It's like a long song. It's like 12 minutes long, but it's a fun song. It's good to listen to this time of year.
Would you say that our listeners should play it as trick-or-treating is happening so that the children can also hear?
No. I don't feel like it's that. It doesn't set an ambiance,
okay.
But it's fun to listen to this time of year, I think.
Recommendations from Matt Casale, everybody.
You're welcome.
Before we sign off for tonight, one last recommendation. The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix. 10-part series. Fantastic. Really fucking good. Really creepy.
Is that based on Vincent Price's House on Haunted Hill?
No, I think they're two different things. It's based on Shirley Jackson's novel, The Haunting of Hill House. But it's
just like a reworking of all those words.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if the Vincent Price version is that. That's okay. why I can't. I mean, it might be. I don't know for sure. Okay. But this is a reworking of that novel, and it's, man, is it good? Really gets into the PTSD of these kids as adults after growing up with all these fucked up experiences in this house. Deals with all of their relationships with like the parents as they get older, and how they dealt with it. It is phenomenal. It is creepy. It's emotional. And yeah, like I can't say enough good things about it. So before Halloween's over this year, folks, The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix. Big fan right here. That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Matt Cassell. I couldn't remember my horror name, so just regular old Matt Cassell.
Matt the Mauler Cassell.
That's it. Don't forget it.
Matt Myers.
We'll see you next time.